that the word Advent means that there is an anticipation of something that is to come. And we talked last week about what it means for us as believers to not look forward to something that is to come, but to actually look forward to someone that was to come and that did come and that will come again. And that we know is the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we talked a little bit about what it means to live in such a way that as we look forward to Christ, we live in a way that honors Him, trusts Him, obeys Him, and grows to know Him more deeply each and every day. And we lit a candle. If you guys look over here at this beautiful candle setup, each week we are lighting a candle that represents something that Christ Himself, when He came into the world, that He brought for us. The first one that we lit last week was one of hope, a true hope that only God can give to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal life that only He can give to us. And today, you see, there's another candle lit. There's two candles now. And today's candle that is lit is the candle of peace. Peace. You know, oftentimes we think about what that means, that there's peace. And, you know, maybe sometimes immediately we think, well, we have peace when there's not a lot of stuff going on around us. You know, if our circumstances are all kind of taken care of and things are going well, then we have peace. But the peace that God wants to give to us through Jesus Christ is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's one that's not contingent on how life is going or what our circumstances may be like or what our emotions may cause us to feel about our present circumstances or about life, but a peace that surpasses all understanding, one that is constant, one that is through Christ alone, through knowing who He is. And so we're taking a short break from the book of James as we kind of take the theme of each Sunday's theme. And today is peace. And so as I prayed about preaching on this idea of peace, as I was reflecting and considering the various passages that are throughout Scripture about peace, I actually found myself back in a passage that we did cover when I went through the book of Philippians earlier in the year. And that passage is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And I want us to look at those verses together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. This is the Word of God. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me read that one more time. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together before we get into this word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is your grace to us. We thank you that you are the one who reached out first to us. That when we were lost in darkness, when we were lost in sin, God, that you shone your light. The light of the world came into the darkness. You gave to us your Son. As we read your word together, I pray that you would keep our minds and our hearts alert, open, softened hearts, so that we can take this truth and learn to live out the faith that we proclaim. And God, if there are those of us here who do not yet know you, do not yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God, through your word, through your message today, would you change their eternity so that they would know you and know what salvation by grace through faith looks like. Be with our congregation. Open up their hearts and minds. Be with me as I preach your word. May your spirit drive and move in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. So even as we look at this passage, and you know, I'm sure for those of us who have been believers and have been growing in our walk with the Lord, there is definitely a connection between peace, true peace, the peace of God, and prayer. Today's message is titled Prayer and Peace, or Peace and Prayer. Because these two things are linked in a way that's undeniable. And why is that? Why is it that prayer is such an essential part of our lives when it comes to knowing the peace of God? Well, one thing I hope that comes through clearly whenever you hear me preach on the word is the word of God reminds us that it is not simply a rule book. It is not simply a gigantic list of do's and don'ts. It is about a relationship with God. It is about a relationship that was broken because of sin, but that through Christ was mended, made whole again through his work upon the cross, in his death, and in his resurrection. So as we're all here gathered today, you're not simply listening to a pastor preach some words from a book. You're actually here to interact with the God of the universe. Right now, as we read this passage together, as we continue to hear the word of God being preached and spoken, it is God who is wanting to interact with you. He wants you to know that he is a personal God, one that he wants you to have a relationship with. Not simply acknowledging his presence or knowing that he's there, that he's doing something, but that he is a real person, person of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so prayer is not just an act, something that we do. The first point today is this, that prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. And let's look at this verse again in verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, there's a connection there that prayers is not just lifting up words and hoping that someone hears them, someone that might be in control of something that maybe luck will be sent our way. It's not just about sending out good vibes, good thoughts when bad things happen. Prayer is about a relationship. It's about something between you and the God of this universe. Prayer is not merely a wish-granting system shrouded in Holy Scripture, that if you say the right prayers, then you get the results that you want for your life. It's not that at all. Prayer is about knowing God more deeply and having a relationship with him that continues to grow as you get to know him more. Now, the interesting thing is, as you look at these words, right, it says, let your requests be made known to God. I started thinking about that. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, if you believe in the God of the Bible, you know that he's omniscient. You know that he's all-knowing. You know that he knows every thought, every desire, wrong or good. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your minds. Whether you're feeling anxious, as these verses talk about, whether you're going through trouble, whether there's a secret or something that you've been hiding from everyone else, God knows every single thing about you, down to the number of hairs on your head. Now, for some of us, that might be getting a little easier, you know, as some of our hair falls out. But God knows every single thing about you. Everything. And so why is it that in the Word of God, it says, make your requests known to God? Well, don't you already know all my requests? Don't you already know all my needs? Why do I have to make my requests known to you? And you see, that is the awesome thing about our God. You see, it's not just about making requests and getting those requests granted. It's not a wish-granting system. What God is saying is, I know everything that you're going through, every deep longing in your heart, every worry, deep hurt and pain, whatever it might be, the sin that you wrestle with, that you struggle, I know all these things, but I want you to bring yourself and all of those things that you're feeling or wrestling with or going through, and I want you to bring them to me. He's saying, make your request known to him, because when you bring these things before God, it is an opportunity to know him more deeply. It is an opportunity for you to be held in his arms, reminded of the grace that is sufficient, reminded of the power of forgiveness, the power of salvation, the person of God. So you see, prayer is personal. He wants us to go to him. He wants to interact with us. He wants to be a part of our lives. He is the purpose of our lives for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ. And I started thinking about that, and, you know, in my own life, you know, as you guys know, Esther, my wife, and I, we have a little girl on the way due in February, but we also have a rambunctious little guy named Caleb, and he's almost 3, and his birthday is also in February. So February is, I mean, it's a packed month for me. My wife's birthday is also then, and then Valentine's Day is on February, and now my 2 kids' birthdays are going to be February. I'm like, oh my goodness, can we just like lump them all into one? Probably not. But as I thought about my son Caleb, you know, there are times that I know that something is bothering him. You know, just, I think as parents, we know that. And also at this age, it's kind of simple, right? There can't be too many complexities about what's bothering a child that's just almost 3. And I remember one time, you know, we go to this this gym where it's just kind of getting the kids active and acclimated with playing with other kids and things like that. I remember I was at this gym and, you know, I was there, and he was playing with his ball, and he was having a ton of fun. And then he kicked the ball one time, and then it went across to the other side of the gym. And while it was away from him, another kid came and, you know, just came and picked up the ball, and he started playing with it like it was his. Now, full disclosure, I'm the type of dad, if I'm not thinking about God, I'm going to go and grab that ball back from that other kid, steal it back, and give it to my son, okay? I'm kind of like that, but that's beside the point. What I wanted to share was, when Caleb saw this kid take the ball that he was playing with, you could tell immediately he wasn't happy about it. He was sad. He was frustrated. You could tell that it was bothering him. Now, I knew that, but what I've been learning to do more is going to Caleb when he's struggling with something or feeling different emotions or having a hard time or being frustrated, even though I know that that's how he's feeling, what he's going through. I just simply go over to him and I ask him, Caleb, are you okay? How are you feeling? And see, in that, I give him the opportunity to share with me. I don't just stand afar and say, I know what's going on in your heart. I know that you're going through something. But I actually come alongside him and say, Caleb, what's wrong? Tell me how you're feeling. You know, he's almost three now, but he's speaking a lot of sentences and saying a lot of things I'm surprised by, but simply just, I'm sad. That's my ball. I was playing with that ball. And see, even in that short sharing, there's something about him personally making something known to me that brings us in our relationship to a deeper place. I might already know how he's feeling, what he's going through, but there's something about him bringing those things to me that gives the opportunity for him also now to receive from me the love of his father. To say, I'm sorry that you're feeling so sad. I see that child, the other kid taking the ball and playing with it, that might make you a little frustrated. I'm able to talk it out with him and end it with, you know, a hug and kind of give him time to just relax. And then, you know, when he's ready to go, he just went back out and began to play again. And so I share this because I think that's what God wants with us. Not just that we be playing in life or living life and he's just kind of there and we say, well, God, you already know everything about me, so just whatever will be, will be. That's not what life is in Christ. You see, in the same way that I was able to comfort my son, God wants to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives opportunity for you to go and share personally with him. Yes, he already knows your requests before you even request them, but he wants you to know what it means to go to him, to be vulnerable with him, to be real with him. He doesn't expect you to be all cleaned up and then come to him. But just at any time, in all things, with prayer and supplication, you go. And he will give you peace. Do you have that kind of personal relationship with God? I think if you're a believer of Jesus, we have to have that. We have to know that he's there with us, for us. We have to know that he's just waiting every opportunity in prayer. It's an opportunity to experience his grace. It's an opportunity to receive his peace. So prayer is personal. Look at this, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Every time we pray, it's an opportunity to grow in the Lord. It's an opportunity to receive his peace and his love. It's not a business transaction between us and God. It's not a wish-granting system. It's not just emptying our minds. It's interacting with the God of the universe. Which brings us to this, remembering that we are interacting with the God of the universe. That's something, you know, it's a word that we like to use a lot called perspective. Okay, so prayer is personal, but prayer also gives perspective. Now, what is this perspective? Remember that verse 6 and 7 that we're looking at together today, it falls into the passage where Paul was talking about having true joy that lasts. And how is it that we receive this joy? Well, Paul and the Bible, the gospel, makes it very clear that life ought to be centered around the person of Jesus Christ. But what is it about Jesus? What is it that he has done? What is the perspective that we need, that prayer draws us back to? Well, one thing that we can't take for granted is how it is that you and I can pray at any moment and that we can have time with the God of the universe. Have you ever just kind of stopped and thought about that for a moment? I think we take it for granted, don't we? Even when we pray before a meal, we say, Dear God, we thank you for this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Even in a short prayer like that, do you have the perspective to take a moment and say, my goodness, I'm talking with the God of the universe. Sure, it's about thanking him for a small meal or whatever it might be, but I get to do that. So how is it that I, this person, one finite person in this time in history, can pray to God of the universe who exists, pre-existed the world, who was the one who was there before anyone or anything else was there, the one creator? How can me, this one creature, have this kind of opening or avenue to talk with the God of the universe? And that is only through Jesus Christ. You see, it was when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and that he rose again, that is when the veil was torn. You guys have heard of that before, the veil being torn. And what does that mean? Well, there was once a time when only once a year the high priest would be allowed into this place in the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. You see, to be in the presence of God, it was actually a pretty scary thing. And you might have heard that when the high priest went in, he actually went in tethered with some cloth, like a rope, around his waist, so that just in case that priest died in the holiness of God because he's just too holy, then they would have something that they could actually drag him out of the Holy of Holies with. I mean, this is what it meant to enter the presence of God, to be in that kind of close communication with him. It was set aside for one person, one time of the year. And now we can pray at any time, even to thank God for a meal, and he hears us. We have a direct connection with him. It is only through Christ. And so when we go to pray, we must remember this perspective that it was all made possible, this relationship with God, only made possible through Christ, through his perfect life, resisting every temptation, giving his life upon the cross for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserved upon his shoulders, and then not staying dead, but being raised again. That is the perspective with which we must pray. And when we have that perspective, there is a peace in knowing that that is the God that we go to. You know, sometimes I think we have trouble praying because we kind of question God's character. We question whether he really is love and what that love is going to look like and how it acts out in my life. But when Jesus taught us how to pray, what did he start? He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that in itself was a very radical thing for people to hear, because things were changing to see God in a more personal way. That yes, he's still holy. We ought to have utmost reverence for who God is. He's the only one worthy of our praise, of our lives. Yes, that's still who he is, but he's God who came to meet us where we were at. Our Father who art in heaven. Do we have that perspective when we pray? If we go to God in prayer, it ought to give us that perspective every time. And as we pray and as we get to know God more deeply, the promise that he gives to us, his peace, there's no way that you're not going to have it. Doesn't mean that everything will change around you. Right? That's what a lot of people are waiting for. I'll have peace, God, when you change my situation. I'll have peace, God, when you heal my dad who is sick. I'll have peace, God, when you take me out of this financial burden that I've been in. I'll have peace, God, when my son and my daughter, who I've tried to raise in the church, finally come back from living in the world. Then I'll have peace, God. That's how we operate. But God says, no. Come, pray, receive perspective, receive truth. That says, even if every circumstance remains the same, the reality that I have given to you everything in Christ, that's there. No one can take that from you. And guess what that means? The peace of God is with you always. We need only to go to him and receive it as he promises to give. And he said, it's perspective. And that's why, you know, it says this in verse 6, right? It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we talked about this. You're going to God with thanksgiving already. Right? The way we operate is, I'm going to hold off the thanksgiving part, and I'm going to make my request known to God. And God, if you pull through for me, if you answer the correct yes that I'm looking for, then will I give my thanksgiving. Because you've blessed me with what I have asked you for. No. You go to God with thanksgiving before you even put in the request. You know why? Because everything has already been done for you in Christ Jesus. That is perspective. So prayer gives perspective, biblical, eternal perspective. Are you praying? Are you praying? It's a very simple question. Are you praying? And I don't mean just, dear God, thank you for today, amen. Dear God, thank you for this food, amen. I'm not saying that there's not value in prayers like that, but are you praying? Prayer is personal. Prayer gives perspective. Are you growing in your personal walk with the Lord? And are you growing in this perspective of thanksgiving, gratitude for what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ? That's real prayer. And I want for us to be a church that prays, that really prays. Because when we do that, we're going to grow closer to the Lord and grow closer with one another. And our church is going to change, as we depend on God and trust in Him more. The last point is this. Prayer protects. Okay? Prayer protects. In verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that's such, it's an awesome thing, the promises of God. He not only gives to us peace, but then He says that we're going to have protection, that as we pray, we are protected in some way, that will be guarded in our hearts and minds. How? In Christ Jesus. So what do we need guarding from? What do our minds, what do our hearts need to be guarded from? It needs to be guarded from ourselves in a lot of ways. Our own thinking, our own sinful desires, the temptation to lose perspective, to forget personal relationship with God, and to say, well, it's just all about what I want, what I need, what I want to do. When we pray to God and we humble ourselves before Him, have perspective again, grow in our walk with the Lord, it protects us through His promises to trust in Him. It protects us when things are not going well, when there are many things that the world would tell you need to worry about, you need to be anxious about, when things are not going well, when the people you love are sick, when you haven't been able to find a job for the last half year, when you're struggling financially, whatever it might be, when you're in broken relationships, when your family situation is when everything's going wrong. When we pray, our hearts are guarded in Christ Jesus. To not wallow and say, woe is me, what am I going to do? I have nothing, I can't do anything. That instead we'll look upon God who promises us peace, and that we'll be guarded from the lies of this world that says, turn away, God doesn't love you, He doesn't really care about you. That we'll look to the Word of God that reminds us that He's always with us and for us. And you know what happens when that happens? He gives to us His peace. See, it's all connected together, prayer and peace. Are you lacking peace in your life? Are you filled with anxiety and worry? are the things that are going on in your heart and your mind, and you don't know what to do with them. You don't know. You're not sure. You're confused, maybe, whatever it might be. Pray. God is coming alongside us. He's meeting us where we're at, and he's saying, tell me how you're doing. I already know your requests. I already know the difficulty that you're going through. I already know the things that you're wrestling with. But make them known to me, and I will give you peace. And that peace, it came, and it comes only through the person of Christ. And so during this Advent season together, as we have times leading up to Sunday or Christmas, let's just pray that we would grow in that kind of way. Let's pray that we would trust in him. Let's pray that we would have a personal relationship with God that continues to grow. Let's pray for more perspective. And let's pray, yes, for protection from the temptation to turn away from the Lord, or to go away from him, or to make life about anything other than glorifying him with our whole lives. Let's pray together. Could we just take one moment to respond in prayer? Just one moment. It's so easy to get lost in the busyness of life and not really take a moment to just stop and really pray. And I want to challenge you right now, even in a 1 minute or 2 minutes of prayer, God's peace for you is real. And he wants to give it to you right now. Will you go to the Lord with whatever's on your heart? Make your request known to God, not with a hope that he will say yes to every request, but already with thanksgiving in your heart, because he made it possible for you to pray right now. This is the blood of Christ that covers over you, the veil that was torn through the power of Christ in his death and resurrection. This is why we can pray right now in this very place. So will you take a moment to do that? Pray. Be honest with God. He will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Your whole situation might not change. Your circumstances may remain the same for some time. But in your heart, you can have peace because God promises that to you if you're a child of his, if you know him. Just take one more moment to pray and then I'll close us. Father, we just thank you so much that you are a good God, that you are a personal God that gives to us your Son, and that through his death and resurrection, that we are able to communicate with you. Even right now as I pray, the God of the universe who made all things into existence, you hear me. God, that is such a humbling thing. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. May we be a church that is filled with the prayers of your people. May we be a church that is filled not only with individuals that pray for our own things, but as a church, as a group that prays for the church and for the community and for those around us. And as we do that, God, we know that you will continue to fill us with your peace as only you can do. So do that. In your name we pray.